This is The Think Tank, talking about the major political, economic, and social issues of the week. With Dr. Mike O'Neill and hosted by Mike Russell. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com. The Think Tank.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Mike O'Neill here with Mike Russell. All kinds of stuff happening this week.
Oh, it's been bonkers.
We have got a full agenda. Starting out with, and it's been Arizona and it's been national, and we're going to start out with the intersection of the two. John McCain has a genuine first-tier challenger in the part of Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick.
This is huge. This is big, big news.
In fact, this is big enough that there are various really heavy-duty national prognosticators who, on hearing that news, move this race from the safe Republican category to the lean Republican category.
Okay.
That's big. Now, John McCain is still the odds-on favorite. Now, in Arizona, we tend to reelect our senators. In fact, I can't think of a sitting United States senator from Arizona who ever lost reelection. We've only had 10 of them in our history. So this is hardly a cakewalk for any challenger. But the first thing you do in any race is you see, does somebody attract a credible challenger? And Ann Kirkpatrick clearly fits that mold. In fact,
I think she only fits it in name recognition. Honest to goodness. Well, I think she only fits it in name recognition. That's her biggest strength.
Here's the history. No, actually, I'd say that's the weaker part. She's only been elected in one district, 1/9 of the state. But let's look at her track record. If we'd have rolled back the calendar 2 years ago, there are 3 swing districts in the state of Arizona, and she owns one of them.
Okay.
The other one is Kyrsten Sinema. The other one is what was Ron Barber's seat, and he lost to Tucson seat. Anyway,
yeah,
three swing seats, and most people said, well, of those 3 sitting Democratic congressmen, Ann Kirkpatrick is clearly the most vulnerable.
Okay,
that was the early line.
Right.
Well, in 2012, she won the seat by 3.2%. In 2014. The Republicans put up, they get the challenger they want. They get the Speaker of the Arizona House, a really strong, he was what the establishment wanted to beat her. It's a Republican landslide, and she moves her percentage from 3.2 to 5%.
Okay.
And every Democrat in the rest of the country is getting whopped. So this is somebody with a really, really strong track record.
And if I don't remember right, that was in a midterm election.
That was a midterm election,
exactly.
which is you're getting
okay.
it. Midterm
right.
election, that's Republican home turf.
Right.
So all the national trends are against her, and she actually increases her margins.
There's not a snowball's chance she beats McCain. There's not a snowball's chance she beats McCain. If you want to go on record, he's got decades of record. Okay.
Yep.
She does not in a red state.
Absolutely
true. And if you're going to line up name recognition on name recognition,
absolutely.
Guess what?
She doesn't have the name record. What I'm saying is she has a track record of beating the odds, and I am not taking an even money bet on her. I mean, I think the national prognosticators who rate this lean Republican have it right. But a week ago, this was safe Republican. In other words, that's snowball's chance in hell. Okay, they have moved it to say, let's see what happens here. It might get interesting.
We're going to see some turnout. We're going to see some turnout in this election.
Well,
some big turnout.
There's one also big remaining question. Okay, so John McCain has a general election first tier opponent. The question is, does he have a first tier primary challenge?
And that is where we will see. And you look at the ones that would line up behind him. Okay. You would look at a Schweikert. You would look at a Salmon, right?
Those are the two guys.
Okay.
Watch them.
So,
if either of them jumps, then the primary race is significant.
I don't think, though. I honestly don't think. What are you going to go after McCain for in a primary? In a red state, what are you going after McCain in a primary? McCain has shown time and time again, even if people are saying that this red state is going to start to lean blue, guess what's going to happen? He has a track record reaching across the aisle. He has track record.
Well, of course, if he gets a serious opponent across the aisle, he reaches across the border, he becomes the build the dang fence guy who caters to the right.
Look at Kirkpatrick's last campaign. She was out there in her boots and a farmer. I'm here all about the Arizona farm. Come on. It's all, we know what electoral politics is all about. It's about portraying an image that you're not.
Well,
this guy has an image.
Right. And you shore up your weakness, right?
Okay.
Which is another way of saying exactly what you said. You know, if you're perceived as too liberal, then you play your conservative side and vice versa.
Sure.
And John McCain, prior to the election 6 years ago, was seen as the guy who might forge a bipartisan compromise on immigration. Mm-hmm. But when he faces a primary opponent, he's the Bill Denang fence guy.
Right. But if you go into the primaries, you look at Salmon and Schweiker, two very, very likable guys, two guys that just seem like, hey, these guys are just there for the good fight. And they might be, they might be.
My guess is, by the way, that they both back off and neither of them is willing to take him on a losing case.
If one of them jumps.
If one of them jumps, they smell blood in the water.
Okay, but if one of them jumps, I think it's a setup. And not in a bad way, not in a negative connotation here. I think it's a setup the same way Ann Kirkpatrick is running. Ann Kirkpatrick, I don't think deep in her soul thinks she's going to dethrone John McCain. I don't think she does. She is setting up for the next time around where she's going to walk in the seat where he's gone. She's going to walk into an empty seat election. And she's going to go up against Schweikert or Salmon or someone like that. I think that is going to be what they're doing right now, is positioning themselves and getting ready.
You know what the problem with that is? She is currently 65 years old. She's in her prime for this. She's 65. You think she's setting up to run for an election when she is 71 years old?
Yes, I honestly do. You have to have that big of an ego if you run for electoral politics at that level. Yes, you do. Yes. 71 is nothing. That's the new 50 in their mind.
I think she's saying, I'm 65. This is my shot at the brass ring. Okay. I've got a legitimate shot. It's an uphill struggle, but I've won uphill struggles before. As you said, John McCain has got some baggage.
Yes.
And by the way, again, I'm not taking the even money bet. My money's on McCain right now, but I'm saying he's not unbeatable. I'm saying I wouldn't say he's 80. I'd say if you elect him by the time he's done with his term, he's 86.
I would agree. Look, you know? I would agree with that. I'm not going to dispute that. But if you look at someone like a Kyrsten Sinema that wants to come up against Ann Kirkpatrick.
That's the interesting thing. I think what Ann Kirkpatrick just did is marginalize Kyrsten Sinema. Mm-hmm. Why? Because everybody was expecting. There's one additional factor that plays into this, and that is the case that's before the U.S. Supreme Court right now that might throw out the Independent Redistricting Commission.
Let's do this. Let's talk about that when we come back. Let's talk about the stuff that's before the Supreme Court. We're going to get back to Kyrsten Sinema and maybe taking on Ann Kirkpatrick and seeing where her chess pieces are next.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Player two has entered the game as Ann Kirkpatrick has announced she would be taking on John McCain, trying to dethrone our senior senator. Before the break, we were talking about Kyrsten Sinema and how Ann just might have been getting ahead of the wave on this.
Oh, she absolutely was. And here's why. There is a case before the United States Supreme Court. The decision will come down within the month. And everybody was expecting that everybody would wait until this decision came down to take political action in the state of Arizona. If this comes down, basically it's a challenge to the Independent Redistricting Commission.
Correct.
There is a chance that the court will rule that you can't have an Independent Redistricting Commission, that the lines must be drawn by the legislature. Mm-hmm. And I will bet you, if that comes down, that decision, in the first 15 minutes, I'm being slightly hypothetical here, but almost instantly, I get Republicans in the Arizona legislature will throw more Democrats into Ann Kirkpatrick's district. They will throw, more Republicans.
I'm with you.
They will make Kyrsten Sinema district more, and they will fortify the three swing districts and make them all lean Republican. They will do that by taking Democrats out of districts that are safe Democratic and will just be a little less safe, but still Democratic district.
And this happens everywhere. This is not exclusive to Arizona.
Except it's dirty, dirty. Basically, it precludes people's vote from mattering.
Law and sausage, right? We don't want to see either two. Okay.
So everybody was assuming this. If that court decision comes down that way, they're going to take all those districts and make them almost impossible for Democrats to win. Then somebody like Kyrsten Sinema will run for the Senate, because why not? Because you basically have as much a chance of winning the Senate as you do that congressional district.
Then even money, I put it on Kyrsten. She wants to run against Ann Kirkpatrick in a primary. She's taking Ann down. The reason why is, we talked about this before, she was known as the Prada socialist, right?
Yep.
Then she gets into office and votes these all board.
She's absolutely playing the middle. Yep.
She's exactly what we want. She's exactly what the United States wants, as we see by voter records, people moving independent. We want that. She was the surprise of it all, I think.
Here's what I think. Ann Kirkpatrick gets points in the Democratic Party for having the courage, and this was an absolute astounding surprise to everybody, to be willing to take on McCain before it became evident that she was going to lose her seat.
Okay.
So I think that she may have preempted the space, and my guess is the hoo-has in the Democratic Party, if they redistricting comes down the, you know, and throws out the commission, that they are going to be privately saying, listen, Ann got in first. It's hers. The last thing we need is a bloody primary, because there's no chance of beating McCain if we waste all our resources in a bloody campaign.
But look at the other side. Early bird gets the worm. Second mouse gets the cheese, right?
Well.
Okay. So she, okay. Now people are going to, trust me, Ann Kirkpatrick in Arizona for the Republican Party, she is enemy number one right now. She has a big target on her back. The Republican Party is going to make sure that she does not look like the darling that she thinks she is.
Sure.
Kyrsten Sinema gets to come behind that and now make a stronger challenge in a primary, I think.
Or if it's a primary challenge, the Republicans sit it out and wait to see who emerges bloody.
Oh, they're already working against Ann. Yeah. The minute she announced, they were already working towards Ann.
I think the old Prada socialist thing is probably a bigger potential target than somebody who is basically has real base in rural Arizona.
Well, because on her commercial, she had cowboy boots on. Well, that makes her a cowgirl, right?
Those are real.
I have cowboy boots. It doesn't make me a cowboy. Right. I'll just throw that out there.
Well, I think in her case, they were real.
Okay, fine.
So I think that's why that sold.
But she's not going to be the darling of the rural communities here in Arizona. Go rural, it's red, then you could possibly red.
And she got out of those votes.
I think,
still uphill struggle. But yeah. I think what she's done is to preempt that spot. And for Kyrsten Sinema to move in, that would be, I think, people who said, you know, you waited until it's easy. Now, if they leaves that alone and says, you know, the court lays off of that, then I think all bets are off. I think Kyrsten runs for re-election.
Just as a quick recap, so everybody's on the same page. Explain for our listeners the Supreme Court case that is in front of us, why there is a independent commission redistricting.
Well, there's an independent commission because we, the voters, voted it in. We said we do not trust the legislature to draw their own lines and jerry-rig it so they can't possibly lose.
Sure.
We want an independent group to make those decisions. Now, some years later, a group of essentially Republican lawmakers says, well, the Constitution says that only the legislature the lines.
That darn Constitution again.
And of course, you did not envision any initiatives at all, because when the Constitution was no initiative, that was a reform element of the late 19th century. So the states that came in late to the Union tended to have initiative referendum and recall.
Okay.
Whereas back in the eastern states, they don't have that. Because historically, that was a reforming century, late 19th century.
But I'm glad you brought it up, because that's why I asked the question. The Arizona State Constitution. Mm-hmm. What does the Arizona State Constitution say?
Well, that's what's being litigated in court. You have that. The other argument is, well, the clear vote of the people, and basically we thing to outside of legislative control, and that is exactly what is being argued. But of course, deep down, it's deeply. And here's the interesting thing: there are other interesting observer, the state of California, where the Democrats hate the idea of an independent redistrict mission, which they also have.
Absolutely.
You know?
Right.
And so friends of the filed a case in support of upholding our commission was Arnold Schwarzenegger, former Republican governor.
Yeah.
The Republican governor of California.
The Republican-ish governor.
Yeah, so,
come on. Republican light. Let's be real.
Moderate Republican.
There we go. Come on.
So,
come on. He's married too.
So this cuts one way in there. California, it gives Republicans a fighting chance in a lot of districts.
And it does. And look, to turn that tide red, by the way, come on, California, and it doesn't matter.
The whole state, but it gives them, they got a lot more Republicans in Congress from California than you would otherwise have, because if you turn this over to the Democratic legislature in California, they will do precisely what the Arizona Republican legislature did, only in reverse.
They're going to fall into the ocean anyway. We don't really care about that. They have no water. They got to buy it from us. So come on, they're messed up anyway. We don't worry about them.
Thank God we got that deal locked up, because their congressional district would otherwise vote us out and we'd be dry.
And that was back in the Babbitt days, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And before, actually.
Oh, really?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. The Babbitt did groundwater. This is the Colorado River
you.
And there was a famous court case, Arizona v. California.
Love that. We love winning. Yeah.
And we got water that we then did not need, but we very much need now. Problem is, they now could use it too.
Now, okay, let's take this from local. Let's take it up national. Okay, let's take this up national as the presidential race in 2016.
That's getting interesting.
Got very interesting this week, as there are new contenders on both sides that are really making a name for themselves and really catching some headlines. Will they be able to take down the Clinton machine? We'll talk about that next.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Christmas comes early for me. I love our talks. I love having guests here. We have had, over the last 2 years, we have had some of the best guests right here in the studio. But
most interesting folks we can find.
Man, I'm telling you. But I like our talks. I like when you and I can sit down and really hash through some things, especially when it deals with the state of Arizona. But then it gets big, big, big. And this is my, and I'm sure it's yours, favorite time of the cycle, really, is when we start gearing up.
It's incredible. We're getting up earlier and earlier. I mean, the ink was barely dry on the last election when we started to handicap what was going to happen next.
Well, I know, but that's like a screening. It's what it is. We're just getting ready for the big season, and this is it. We have the presidential election coming up, the 2016 election, and if you don't think it's on top of you already, it is, as candidate on top of candidate are starting to throw their hat in the ring, and we go.
And Hillary Clinton did a total free pass.
That's right.
Okay, that's what we thought. It was completely and totally bull. Bernie Sanders is going to get some. He's a senator from Vermont, self-avowed socialist. Okay. And I predict he will get some real. He's not going to beat her, but he could bloody her. He's going to press her on some issues with Walt. With tax-related issues and basically economic fairness.
Okay.
And he is going to have a lot of appeal in the sort of the heart and soul of the Democratic electorate.
Yes, he is, and I agree with you. He is not going to dethrone her. There's in the world. She will skate, if anything. She'll skate at least to the nomination now.
Yeah, well, I mean, Bernie's not going to get 51%. Now, here's the number four. If he gets 20%, then, pat him on and send him on his way. But if he gets in the range of 35, or if he should hit 40, this would be, wow. Take notice. Is she vulnerable? And we could have a situation like, 1968, McCarthy challenged Lyndon Johnson. He got less than 4% in the New Hampshire primary, but it was devastating to Johnson. Johnson, after that, announced that he wasn't going to run. He saw the handwriting on the wall. And Gene McCarthy was never going to take that on. But Robert Kennedy saw the blood on the wall and he jumps in. So the question is, I draw an analogy. Bernie Sanders' blood that Hillary Clinton ends up with serious opposition.
And I think that, I don't know about, well, serious opposition would have to be from the Republican side. I think she's going to be the nominee. But if Bernie Sanders even gets up above 20%, let's just focus on the, he has a shot at getting a 20%.
I think he gets the 20%.
Okay, so let's just focus on that and not think anything past that. That, it doesn't matter to me, at least, that he gets that 20%. It's how he gets that 20%. And he's going to get that 20% by beating the tar out of Hillary Clinton, not saying I'm Bernie Sanders, I'm qualified to be the president of the United States. He is going to, because if he's self-avowed
socialist,
he's
going on issue.
He doesn't have a snowball
chance.
But
here's what I think he forces her to do. I think he'll say, okay, Hillary, you need to debate the issues with me. And I think she can't resist that. She can't duck him, or she starts to look weak.
Okay. So I when you were talking about the issues, how is it? And I'm not, I am in the majority. I'm definitely on the matching my head looking at these, all the hype for Hillary Clinton. How? And I can go through a list of things that would, if they were even half as bad, would have derailed any Republican presidency. Any Republican presidency. She has issue on top of issue. Whitewater, Benghazi, the emails, everything. She has issue on top of issue. The New Jersey governor, for the love of grief, slow traffic on a bridge. He'll never be president of the United States. Chris Christie
what did
was
she
destroyed.
What did she do that was illegal as that?
The emails.
One thing that she did.
That is illegal. You can't.
She should not.
She destroyed a server. Okay. If any Republican did that, they wouldn't serve. They wouldn't even be in a primary.
Jeb Bush had private emails. Same thing.
So, Jeb Bush is not going to be the president of the United States, by the way. Jeb Bush, by the way, was only pulling 10% in a 10% dead heat with everyone else on the Republican side.
I'll take Jeb Bush. You take any Republican
you
nomination.
You think Jeb Bush is going to be the Republican nominee for president?
I think he's more likely than any other single. Now, there's hundreds of them. So, I mean, you know, I'm not going to take Jeb, but I'll take Jeb against, odds on, I'll take Jeb against any one of his challengers. Who do you think is the most likely?
Really?
Yeah,
I think Rubio and Walker will go above him immediately. Immediately. I think what Bush brings is Florida. Florida's important. The Republican Party gets that, and they understand that. Mm-hmm. They know he will pull Florida. He can pull Florida. So I think that that's a big deal.
Well, Bush is the old, obviously, the old Republican establishment. This is the group that has always won. Absolutely. But I'm saying, but here's the difference. Up until this point, the establishment guy has won the nomination for the Republicans every time going.
Okay. All right.
I mean, the next in line, the anointed one. Now, there have been successively more and more interesting challenges. But in the end, Republicans up to this point is gone with kind of the establishment guy. And then the right grumbles, we didn't get
We have to do another Bush-Clinton election. If we do, I think there's voter revolt.
There will
at that
be
point.
A lot of eye-rolling. That's true. We wanted something new of us, Bush-Clinton.
Clinton.
That may be what we get.
Well, and you know, some of the country voted twice, hope and change, and got squashed. What we're seeing is, I think, as a voter. So put yourself in the voters. Just take yourself out of the pollster that you are.
Uh-huh.
And we look at this country said twice, we want hope and change. That didn't happen. So what do? We go back to what we had.
The argument may be what we need is somebody with experience and stature, and we don't need somebody who hasn't been around the block a few times.
And
that's an argument for either, but that's a stronger argument probably for Hillary.
Okay, but look at Bernie Sanders, Jeb Bush, and Hillary Clinton. They've been around the block more than a few times.
Well, I mean, Bernie Sanders has been in a legislative role, and he is a voice for a component of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, a very small minority of this country.
Pings on the heartstrings of a significant chunk of the Democratic Party electorate, which is why, he's not going to be president of the United States. He knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But he is going to push Hillary on issues, and he won't let go, and he will not be bought off by a cabinet job or anything else. Bernie is the real deal. He will say stuff that nobody else will say. And he's gonna force her to respond. And I think,
get a Sanders 2016 bumper sticker now, because I want him to take her down. If she becomes the president of the United States,
not gonna happen. But Bernie, I think he goes out to Iowa and he says, okay, Hillary, debate me. Now, of course, what Hillary will say is, yeah, I'll debate you, but I want Congressman Chafee on the dais.
Yeah.
I want Martin O'Malley on the dais. So you will have multiple other people, whereas Bernie would love a head to head.
Well, let's go with Clinton right now. The question, or your take on this. How does she avoid all of the Whitewater? For the love of all things holy.
Whitewater,
it is
my
most,
friend,
it
there
is
was investigated.
Who? I spoke
by,
to the
by artists Gosh, of the earth. What they got was
stuck.
They investigate the whole thing for crime. They got an instance of oral sex.
Nothing
that was it.
Stuck. That was it. They had a blue dress, and that was it. Because the Clintons are smarter than this.
Yeah.
Understand that it was the most blatant.
Nothing.
Oh my goodness.
Zero.
Sakes.
Complete and total zero.
Oh my gosh. She just Chris Christie slowed down a bridge.
Yep.
And he's done.
And he got caught.
Post.
And
he got caught.
He got caught.
His name is
no
this.
Oh, it was just staffers who just took it up
same
on their
the
own.
Clintons.
Yeah,
same
come on.
With the Clinton
Brooklyn.
It's those 14 people, they're now dead. But we can't talk to them, but they did it all. It's the same thing. I know how she continues to rise above that stuff. She's not that qualified. She said, I haven't driven a car since 1990. Every man.
You know,
I was broke when I left the White House. I had no money.
That was laughable. But what I remember is every Republican in the Senate just lavishing her praises until it looked like she might run for office.
They
again.
Knew she was going to run for office. Come on, let's get real about things. This is just silly. All right, let's bring it back home. What do you think? Let's bring it back to Arizona here. Ducey,
all kinds of stuff going on in Arizona.
Doug Ducey, his threat to business leaders, don't do education initiative. What? That is all about the kids. Next.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Hey, Mike, before we get into a multitude of Arizona issues, let me point out that we have gone back and categorized and put on podcast all of our old broadcasts. They're on MikeO'Neill.org. They're also
out.
The most recent couple are on KTAR.com, but good luck finding it.
Yes.
You got to go to all shows and multiple levels, but you go to MikeO'Neill.org, and there's a little button at the top says radio. You'll see them all right there, up to and including last week.
But the cool part about KTAR.com, just so you know, we have optimized our website for mobile, so it's available on anything you have, any device. That's why it's a little bit dicey on maybe the web. Just go on the left, scroll down, you'll see us there under blogs.
You got blogs, you got all, and then you go to all shows.
You got
a real issues in Arizona that intrigued me this week. Number one is, and this is kind of the Doug Ducey threatening business leaders, saying, "Listen," and here's the background, isn't it? The legislature cut the heck out of the education budget. And there's some business leaders that are concerned about that. And there's a little bit of rumbling that, well, make an initiative and let people out and said, don't. And intriguing about this is you think that's his normal constituency. This is pretty dicey stuff.
Okay. Once again, he's been in there a few months. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's been our governor. He's been the CEO of Arizona for a few months. So we're giving him that. And what I'm seeing with this is that it shows me that he does have the business mind that we thought he did, or at least that he ran on, and he knows his agenda, he knows exactly what he wants to do, he knows how he wants to do it, and he's controlling the chess pieces accordingly.
Yep.
I can't really fault him for that. Elected him.
It is a naked assertion of power, and if you do something like that, boy, you better maintain that power, because if you lose, you're dead.
But here's the deal. You can't rise to any leadership position without making those decisions in those type of plays. You can't.
Actually, in this case, I think
it
would have provided a perfect out for him. He could have said, you know, I vote as in whatever, and he could have been hands off on this. Said, let them have their initiative. If it passed, we'll abide by the wishes of the people. And I didn't do any taxes; they did. So I thought he avoided. He had the perfect out and chose not to take it. And I find that very interesting.
But that's politics.
Well,
do you
that's
see what I'm saying?
Politics
that
he's chosen.
Okay, no,
well,
but understand that the other side is how we see every dang politician run. Oh yeah, I don't. You elected me to make these decisions. I don't want to make the decision. I want the biggest wimp. I can't handle that wimpy out. If you're a leader, lead. Dang it.
The interesting thing on this is one area where he is facing a rather vehement opposition opinion.
Okay.
The public, when asked on these issues, really think that education got cut too much.
But we're not a democracy. We're a representative republic. We elect people to make all these decisions, and that's it. We elect people. We don't elect laws.
Well, we're hybrid. We have initiative, and so we have sometimes democracy and sometimes representative government. I just find it very, very interesting. And it would be very interesting to me to watch the reaction of the business community, whether they basically cower in front of that or whether they proceed.
But going back to I want to go back to education real quick. He cut education too much. Well, I don't know. I heard this week, I heard ASU's opening up down in, and we don't have any money. They took all of our money. But we're going to go ahead and open up down to you, and
they kept their money by raising tuition.
Exactly. I mean, and guess what? kids are still enrolling all day long. This is what we have seen time and time again. Every time they raise rates, oh, it's all the kids are going to suffer. Nope, they're going to walk right in.
The universities had one pool that they could go to the well on one time, which is tuition here was historically very, very low.
Constitutionally, and, it has to be.
Well, except what that means is very ambiguous. It is no longer, by national standards, it is no longer very low. We are a little bit above average nationally. So you could go to the well once for that because tuition was real low and sort of make up the difference. They really don't have that option anymore.
Yeah, we'll see.
So
see what goes on.
The next round of cuts hurt. Item two, interior border checks. This week, there was a big article in paper, people upset about that.
Yeah.
Let me point out something. I was having a conversation with Terry Green Sterling, was about immigration a lot. And one thing that a lot of people don't realize, do you know how easy it is to actually cross the border into this country? You get a little ID from, not from the U.S., but from the Mexican government, and you're allowed to cross over. And by the way, our folks want this. You cross over into Nogales, you shop, you go home.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Thousands and thousands of people, they go to Nogales, they go to Yuma. Now, if you're driving up Arizona 85, just south of Ajo, see an internal border check.
I was just at.
You're allowed to go to Nogales. You are not allowed to go to Ajo. You are not allowed to go to Phoenix. And the interesting thing is that those are the real checks. If you're really, if you're interested in stopping immigration physically, you do it inside the country because we let people go and literally cross the border.
And see, that's the
perfectly
thing.
Legally.
When you look at public opinion and you look at public outcry of build a wall, this, that, and the other thing, the people that are screaming that the most are the people that don't understand that.
Yeah, because so build a wall, what that says is build a wall was a joke. You can cross, you simply cross at the border station.
Nobody knows. Nobody realizes that you get a little pass, they come in the shop and go home, come in the shop and they go home. They're
and
crossing the border
merchants,
back and forth.
Our merchants in Nogales and Yuma,
they live
love it.
They, well, they live on
the
it.
Poor town that actually gets screwed on this hole because they're north of that border. They're not allowed to go to Ajo, and Ajo's dying. It was a mining town that no longer has a mine, and they could do some retail.
But when
outside
I'm state mine
bubble.
Inspector, maybe, I might change some things
that,
around
that,
here, buddy.
That would
makes,
be your
I might
deal.
Save Ajo.
Okay, last item, welfare limits. And I got to tell you, do a whole show on this sometime.
Because, well, and I hope we do.
But very simply, what it did is put a one-year limit on welfare, lifetime.
Okay.
And here's the argument for it, I think, is pretty simple. You know, I don't want somebody sitting around lazy, unmotivated. I want to motivate them.
Okay.
Okay. Able-bodied people should go to work.
Amen.
And by the way, I'd agree with that.
Yes, I would.
The question is that who we're eliminating? And I don't know the answer to that.
You are eliminating several of those. Well, whether it's the majority of the or minority, it remains to be seen. Okay.
No, it's my understanding that basically Clinton did that in the 90s and ended welfare as we know. And basically able-bodied adults without kids do not get welfare anyway.
And what they realized is they can end it, and what they do is hit the reset button and then promise free money and they get votes.
Well,
you see
we'll
how
see.
That works
well,
as it comes
we'll
along?
We'll see. But essentially, the really question, what I'd like to know is, who are those folks that are getting cut off? And is it a question of motivation, or do they actually have other choices?
Name a single piece of legislation that does not hurt someone. You can't.
No.
Every piece of legislation is going to tick off a group of people or hurt, and I throw my hands in air quotes, hurt a bunch of people, and some might motivate them and say, look, I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus. Someone very close to me, I'll say this, okay, might be a family member, living off the dime. Living large off the dime, by the way. Essentially, taking government money to handle life expenses, taking his income to invest in real estate.
And all of us want to stop that. There's nobody in favor of that.
Right. So I can give you those examples, and then someone else could come along and give me but there's this single mom here that has five kids and this and that, and she's working three jobs. And I understand that. I understand that. So I want to, and I haven't done this yet, and I think that we should. I don't know if you've done it yet. I think we need to read this legislation. We need to get in deep and read it and find out really, really what it says. The headline is rough.
I understand.
12 months
it's actually, that's it. There's an
it's
absolute
not a one
life,
piece of paper.
But the absolute lifetime limit, 12 months of welfare, period, no
zero
matter what.
Zero exceptions.
Zero. That's my understanding.
Okay, so disability?
No, you know, disability is different from if you get disability, and like it's not this is not federal food. This is state run welfare, which has never been able-bodied.
Is access in there?
access. I don't think access.
Do you see this one? Yeah. I say we dig into it.
It's fine, welfare payments.
It just seems so. Yeah. And I like Lori Roberts. I like her a lot. But she her it's just it was a headline on headline is what it was. And I think that no, we need to get deeper into this.
I want to get a proponent in here. Yeah. I want to get somebody from the Children's Action Alliance. I'd like to find somebody who's being cut off.
But sure, and I want to find some, and then I can find a group of people in here that's being taken advantage of.
I got folks trying to chase down all of these folks right now.
Okay, good. Well, let's
one
find
of these
some
one of these
sides.
Next few weeks we're going to do that show.
And I hope what's going to happen, and I really think and I hope, because this is the think tank and this is what we do. What I hope will happen is we will see both sides and see that there is a middle area, and it's something that needs to be done. And if it is something as drastic as what we saw with 12 months and you're out, okay. Yeah. If it needs to be 24, we'll move it at that point.
Fair game. That's what our whole point here is, to figure out some facts.
Exactly. Facts, and that's to dig into
but
it.
Emotionally, I mean, I think, it's an emotionally appealing argument. It says, we don't want anybody lingering on welfare for the rest of their lives.
This isn't a free ride. This is America.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to pay for that. I wrote a big check in April. A very, very big check in April. Thank you very much. Holy cow. All right. Doc, this has been fun. I love doing this. We're going to get some guests in here, but let's make this happen more often. I like it. On behalf of Doc O'Neill and the entire KTR staff, I'm Mike Russell. Thanks for spending some time with us. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.